Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thine is the power. And thine is the glory. All that is in the heaven is thine. And thou, O Lord, art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, to keep, to preserve, to bless, and to exalt, and even to give strength unto all. It is all in your hand, Lord. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, we thank thee and praise your glorious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we declare this morning that the entrance of your word will bring light and give us understanding, even as we encourage one another with the word of the Lord today. Receive all the glory. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk on the subject of running with the footmen and contending with horses. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that's a kind of a strange topic, but let's read this. The background for this lesson is taken from Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. Reading from the King James, Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 5 is what we're going to read, and then we're going to try to unpack it and see how that applies to our lives. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they weary thee, well then how can you, what are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? Now there are many elements in this verse. You are in there because it says, if thou, so it's talking to you. There are footmen there. There are horses there. You know, there is a time of peace. There's a time of trouble. And many other things in here. This is kind of like a metaphor that it puts out there. What is it really telling us about? You know, for footmen, just consider, you know, if you see, if you are going to be in a race, and I always like these analogies about races. If you're going to be in a race and you're all lined up, well, naturally speaking, no one has an unnecessary advantage over another because you're all on foot and you are all lined up on your marks, get set, go, you know. So, I mean, you're on equal footing. Sometimes people say that. But if you run against people on foot, just like yourself, when you are all there, and you can't even keep up, you know, they wearied you completely. Well, then let's take it to the next level. If you cannot keep up with, you know, running against people on foot just like yourself, well, in the world, then are you going to contend with horses? And you know how strong a horse is. You know how fast they can run. You know, so this is a metaphor about life, basically. There are some daily, smaller challenges and different things that we face from time to time. And if we get discouraged, disappointed, distressed, fatigued, and wearied from those little things, well, how are we going to deal with the bigger, you know, trials and testings and overwhelming situations and, you know, things that could be even more intense that happens later on, you know, and the swelling of Jordan is there too, in that picture. There are times when the River Jordan overflows its banks, carries everything in its pathway. You know, it's like a tsunami just comes in there. And he said, well, when that happens, which is, you know, more terrible, are you going to be able to deal with it if you couldn't deal with the little things? You know, so that's the lesson around which we want to encourage one another today. That's what it's all about. You know, everything that we face, small or big, we must win. It's like you got to climb every mountain. You know, you got to climb every mountain. You got to, whatever confronts you, you got to win. Small things, big things, whatever. And the little things, if we get victory over the little things, it might encourage us, strengthen us for bigger things. And if you get the victory over the big things as well, then when the little things come, and it's kind of like a soak. You know, little things prepare you for bigger things. Bigger things give you confidence when you face little things. So I already dealt with that, you know, so I can deal with this one as well by the grace of the Lord, you know, and on and on and on, you know, so. You know, in summary, you know, that's the, you know, that's the, a synopsis, I should say, what we are going to be, talking about. Many scriptures encourage us to build spiritual resilience, you know, and we're going to see how you do that, you know, through prayer and other things. And situations that will happen. The other day we're talking about, you know, if a tree falls, it will fall. You know, wherever it's going to fall is where it's going to fall. And you can't say, well, the tree is going to fall. Well, the tree is going to fall. Let it fall. And you deal with it. You know, if clouds are gathering storm, we call it sometimes. Well, let it gather. Let them gather. They will, you know, they have water. They will. You know, rain, it will cause rain. So what? It's going to rain, let it rain. But we got to deal with the things. You know, there are everybody, it's not just about. Everybody goes through and must face and deal with situations from time to time. You know, God is present to give us grace. You know, it's not, you know, there's nobody that's exempt from these challenges of life, you know, whether they are believers or unbelievers, you know, these same things will happen to everybody. The difference is that, you know, God gives the believer the grace through the Holy Spirit and so forth, you know, to handle. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 that says, well, you know, it's not just by your skill, by your speed, by your wisdom, etc., that you can handle things. There's going to be uncontrollable and unexpected events that happen to everyone, you know, everybody experience these things. And some things you can't control. What are you going to do if those things happen? You know, I returned, the writer said in Ecclesiastes 9:11, and saw under the sun. He was always trying to look at things. He said, well, the race is not to the swift. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. And these things will befall everybody. But actually, let's find out how we can make the race be to us, how we can make the battle be to us, and the bread to us, and all these things, you know, can get an advantage. There are many things that can give us advantage. There are also things that can give us disadvantages. I want to talk about, you know, hurdles or roadblocks, you know. Let's look at it and see certain roadblocks that may create hindrance. You know, what is a roadblock? Because these challenges of life, you know, it intended to discourage us and make sure we don't move forward. You know, that's what it's all about. You get all these problems and keep you back, hold you back, you know, from being the best version of yourself and so on. A roadblock is intended, you know, even when they're doing construction, you know how it is. You know, they put the roadblocks there as a barricade, you know, and they're an obstruction across a road. You know, it's set up to prevent you from going through that road. That's why they call it a roadblock, you know. And when you see a roadblock physically, what do? Well, for one thing, you can't go through, or you shouldn't go through. You know, that's what it's designed to keep you from going there. But that might be the path that you needed to go through, or the road that you needed to go through there. What do you do in that case then, if that particular road is blocked? You know, well, those are some of the challenges we face. Consider that these running with footmen, contending with horses, it's all about how do we handle challenges. And so some of these challenges are there. Some are little, some are great. The road is blocked. Sometimes they're kind enough to tell you, you know, go take this other road or go around here and so forth. They can give you a detour, an indication of how you can take a detour. But most people will not sit there because the road is blocked. I mean, anyone in their right senses, I don't think I've seen anyone that say road is blocked, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to just stay there. The road is blocked. You move around the blockage. You find another path or another road to where you're going, because you got to get there. So an obstacle also is an obstruction, the path of progress. These things, these challenges that we face, we may not see them as such, but see them as such today. These are obstacles. You know, there are some races that are called an obstacle course. You have to go through an obstacle course. And life is like that. Life's not exactly a sprint. You got to go through the obstacle course. There may be different things, you know, that you run through during, you know, that obstacle course. You may have to jump over some things. You have to wade through some water. You have to climb something. You have to crawl under something, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and there are some, you know, military training, you know, special forces and different things that they put them through a lot of these obstacle training, obstacle courses. It's different things you got to do. If you're in the Navy SEALs and stuff, you know, sometimes they have to even go, you know, underwater and hold their breath for a long time, because they're trying to prepare them for situations where they might actually, you know, have to deal with that. And this, you know, the things that we face in life, what is the posture that we have when we face these things? If we get discouraged with the little roadblocks, you see a roadblock, then that means you're no longer going. I have had to deal with young folks who get discouraged easily, and even some older folks too, you know. They're trying to do something, they meet a roadblock, and they just give up, you know. Or you are in school, and you are not doing well, very well. You fail one or two exams, and then you quit because of that. You know, so these are things that bring these little things and challenges and stuff like that. They bring discouragement, disappointment if people are not trained to deal with it. It can cause fatigue and weariness, you know, but rather they can also give encouragement. You know, hey, the Lord saw me through that. He'll see me through this other one too. There's different ways that you can deal with that. Now, there are some personal obstacles, you know, to progress, you know, the roadblocks that Satan throws up. You know, sometimes we may not, or Satan takes advantage of. Sometimes we may not know that these are, you know, tricks that are in the hands of the devil to discourage us in life. But some of them are subtle, but they are very powerful. There's one here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that the scripture talks about. It's called lack of knowledge. You know, I have seen this as a, you know, tremendous obstacle, you know, to people in life. When you don't know what to do, something happens, you don't know what to do, and you just give up. People give up too many times just because of lack of knowledge. There's something you want to do. They don't know how. Then they give up just because they don't know how. You know, I remember growing up as a young man, the country where I lived, you know, things were difficult, you know, and, people didn't even know, you know. I mean, I remember, you know, one or two situations where, you know, somebody came and talked to me about they didn't know how to get a passport, for instance, you know, because I was encouraging some of the brethren to do certain things and say, well, we don't know how to get a passport. What do you mean you don't know? You know, but I mean, that lack of knowledge was keeping them back from something that's as straightforward as applying for a passport. I mean, it's not a trivial thing, but it's not rocket science. I mean, you know, figure out the thing, apply for the thing, follow the process. You know, oh, I don't know how to do it. Oh, I don't have somebody to help me. You know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, that's one great hindrance. And it can lead to all kinds of things, you know, if we're not careful. But see what the Lord even said beyond that. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now, so lack of knowledge, if you don't have the knowledge, well, the Lord is putting responsibility on you. You say, well, you're the one that rejecting the knowledge because the knowledge is out there to be sought out. So if you don't seek out the knowledge, the Lord says, well, then you've rejected it. And because you rejected it, this part, I shudder to even read this part. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me. Now, that's more than just casual knowledge. That's the knowledge of the holy. But, you know, you can apply it to even natural things. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Lord, I'll also forget thy children. Well, that is some serious stuff. But it started out by just saying that people lack knowledge. The knowledge, you know, it's something that we must gain. You know, you got to also know the victory that Jesus has already obtained for us. That's knowledge. And if we don't have understanding, then we lack the victory, or we will not get the victory that we should get. Well, James said, if you lack wisdom, then pray for it. James chapter 1, verse 6. Now, another roadblock to making you know, for us going forward in life, of course, is unbelief. You know, when God says something we don't believe it, well, that definitely will keep us back. We also have oppressing spirits that just come to make the situation worse, to oppress the mind of the people, or add more to their, you know, burdens, just like Pharaoh said, add more burdens to these people so they won't have time. You know, another one is just being negative in our minds instead of being positive. You know, some people are just pessimistic. Yeah, they always see the negative side. They see only the thorns and not the roses. They look at a glass of water that contains water up to the midpoint level. Pessimistic people will see that as a half empty glass of water. You know, there is some serious implications to that viewpoint. An optimistic person will see the same, you know, glass of water as half full. Half full means, well, it's a subtle and it's sublime, but half full means you expect that it is rising. Half empty, it's also subtle, but it's sublime. You know, subtle and sublime, it means that it is decreasing. I mean, the same thing, two people are looking at it. One person thinks, well, it's half empty. The other person says it's half full. What's your perspective of life? You know, so negativism rather than, you know, optimism, you know, being pessimistic and so forth. That can be another hindrance. But these are things that we must overcome. The psalmist in Psalm 18 verse 29 said, look, I will run through all these things, leap over walls, run through troops, whatever. Not going to let anything keep him back. Now, why am I talking about roadblocks when we're supposed to be talking about, you know, running against footmen, contending with horses? Well, because these are the footmen that you must deal with on a daily basis before some real serious thing happens. The process of learning to overcome adversity has to deal with, you know, overcoming the smaller things in life as well. You know, what is an adversity? Well, it could be a calamity, tragedy, distress, sorrow, sickness, disappointment, failures, etc. It could be any of these things. And we must learn to deal with them. Some come in different degrees. Some are smaller. Some are bigger. The title of our lesson suggests that if we are not able to deal with the smaller things, we may not even have a chance, you know, against the bigger things. Life is full of these ups and downs. Ecclesiastes 7:14 tells us about it. He said, well, everybody is going to be faced with, you know, good times that can allow you to rejoice, but there's always going to be hard times as well. You know, and if we can only rejoice in the good times, then I'll tell you what that means in a minute. In the day of prosperity, Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider that adversity is what I'm talking about here. You know, the adversity that you have to overcome. He said, why do you have both? Why do you have prosperity sometimes and adversity a lot of times? Well, he said, God has set one over against the other. In other words, God has kept them side by side. so that, you know, man should find nothing after him. We always look to him for a support system for our strength. If things were always good, maybe we wouldn't need the Lord. If things were always bad, maybe we'll be, you know, so discouraged that, you know, the devil would take advantage of that and keep us away from the Lord. So, you know, it's kind of like a balance, it's kind of like night and day, like just the Lord did from the beginning. Let there be light, he said, but he did not say, and let the darkness be no more. He didn't say that. So he left the darkness in place and even gave a name to it. He called it night because he had a purpose for it. That's why he named it. He named the light day, he named the darkness night, and left them side by side from the beginning. He could have abolished the darkness, but he did not. He only commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Sometimes I wonder, well, why didn't you just abolish the darkness for, you know, be done with it? Well, eventually he will be. He will do that, but right now he won't, and he hasn't. There's coming a time when there shall be no more darkness. There shall be no more night. It'll all be day. Even time, it will be night. I mean, light. at night time, there will be light. It won't be night at all. You know, so even, you know, people generally will shut the gates of the city at night. Say, well, the gates of the city shall not be shut because there will be no night there. It's always daytime. The lamp itself will be the light of it, you know, and so forth. That's something to look forward to later on, much later on. But right now, you're going to have to deal with that light and the darkness. The darkness part or portion is the subject lesson of this, I mean, the subject matter of this lesson. You know, the times when we go through darkness. Yeah, it can be darkness too when, you know, we're not hearing the voice of God. There may be times when you hear the voice of God is really sharp. And then other times you don't hear anything. You know, those are moments of darkness. Sometimes you are up on the mountaintop. Everything is great. Well, sometimes you are down the valley. In those moments when you're down the valley, how do you get up and climb the next mountain? You got to climb every mountain. And in order for you to climb the next mountain, you got to come down from this one. You can't scale the mountains just like that. You know, so you go up, you climb that mountain, say, great. And you think you are there, I say, no, you got to climb that next one in front of you. So, wow. How do you climb that next mountain in front of you when you are on top of this mountain? Well, there's only one way to do it. You coming down from this mountain, you know how to climb the next one. Now consider that life is full of mountains that are in the path of where you are going. There's no way to get around the mountain. You got to climb the mountain. Just think of it like that. And if there are a series of mountains that you must climb, and after you climb the first one and you're on top of it, and you start rejoicing and you see that you're actually not there yet, but there's other mountains to climb, well, how do you do it? You can't. Unless you come down from that mountain that you're on in order to climb the next one. So that's the undulating path of life. It's up and down, up and down, up. It's not a plateau where it's just flat all the time. I mean, that would be great if that's the way it was, but it's not. You know, all of us experience this, you know, this, you know, so moments, some moments of great joy and celebration. And, you know, if you're not careful right around the corner, the serpent is waiting to strike. It's looking for an opening. You know, and sometimes it will strike not because of carelessness, but sometimes it's because of carelessness. Ecclesiastes 10 and 8 says, well, if you break a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. You know, and so forth, like that. If you dig a pit, you're going to fall into it. People dig pits because of lack of wisdom. And sometimes we don't have our spiritual antennas up, and the devil will take advantage of it. Whatever the case is, when you're facing stuff, you must be strong in the Lord. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, this is what I told you I was going to say in a minute. It says, look, if you faint, right, in the day of adversity, what does it mean? I mean, adversity, you know, these are all these things we've been talking about. These are adversities. You know, if you faint in the day of adversity, then it means your strength is small. And God doesn't want us to have small strength. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In Ephesians 6 and 10. Daniel 11, 32 also says the people that know their God shall be strong. And they will do exploits. I mean, God always wants us to be strong, you know, and to be able to handle, you know, things. When Paul was, you know, trying to encourage Timothy, said to him, 2 Timothy 2 and 3, he said, well, remember that you're a soldier, you know, and a soldier for Christ must, you know, endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, you have to endure hardness or hardships. You got to be rugged. You know, you handle things. You got to handle the little things. You got to handle the big things. You know, you can't let, you know, these problems get the better of you. You shouldn't. But Satan is always standing there, you know, trying to get an advantage over us because of situations that befell us. Well, there are other ways that we can use to overcome these little distresses of life. You know, one of them is wisdom and prudence. That's why it talks about if you lack knowledge, you're going to suffer many things. Proverbs 22 and verse 3, and also Proverbs 27 and verse 12, talk about the same thing. It said, a prudent man foresee the evil. Some of these annoying things that gnaw at us every day in life, some of them we can actually avoid. We can't avoid them all, but you can avoid a lot by being prudent and being wise. Yeah, that's one way you run against footmen. You put up your spiritual antennas. You look, always looking carefully, seeing what's going on around you. You know, and if you don't, well, you might fall into something that you shouldn't have fallen into. If you looked very well, you might have escaped the danger. I mean, if you're just going and you're not looking, and there's a pit in front of you, you're going to fall into that pit because you are not paying attention. And if you were paying attention, you might have just avoided the pit. You say, oh, there's a pit there. I'll go this way. You know, so some of these little things can be avoided by prudence and wisdom. We can't necessarily avoid everything. We can also build up our spiritual defenses. You know, through prayer. He said, look, but ye beloved, building up your most holy faith. Yeah. Jude 20. You can build up your most holy faith. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can do these things. You know, and then you can hide yourself in the Lord. Psalm 91. You know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Lord. Now, some of these are, you know, ways for you to avoid and, you know, adversities. You hide yourself in prayer. You know, you keep yourself in the love of God. You can avoid a lot of things, not everything though. Some things are still going to happen because Jesus said in John 16 and 33, in the world, as long as you are here, you're going to run into many things. He actually calls it, you know, tribulations. You're going to say, ye shall have. It's not, you know, maybe it is you shall have in the world, you know, as long as you are here, ye shall have tribulation. distress and so forth will happen. But some of them have larger scale and some have smaller scale. So when you are dealing with the smaller scale distresses, you got to make sure you win over those, because that's how you get practice for the bigger ones. And if you win the little ones and you win the big ones as well, then the next time some little one comes, you've already gotten the victory over big ones. It encourages you. You know, if you are losing over the little things, though, you're not going to learn the strategy even for the bigger things, because you're already losing even in smaller things. So that's, you know, that's the lesson, you know, today in a nutshell. You know, when there are, you know, different things that could happen during the day to us that we don't know about, what do you do to prepare yourself for the unexpected, which can happen at any time? Well, like trusting the Lord. The Lord can even give you inspiration even while you sleep, you know, not only to avoid danger, but also to give you strategy for, you know, getting the victory over something. It says here in the book of Job, chapter 33, in verse 14, it says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." I mean, God's telling you stuff. Better pay attention. He's always telling us. But sometimes we don't pay attention. It can come to you in a dream, it can come to you in a vision of the night. Even while you sleep, he said, "Why, you know, deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed. He openeth their ears and sealeth instruction in their heart." You know, at that time, even in your sleep, put something in there. You didn't know it, but when you got up, all of a sudden this light bulb goes on. Well, that was the Lord, you know. And the Lord, he will even teach you, he'll keep you to withdraw your soul from evil and so forth. Keep your feet from falling into the pit. And the Lord who puts instruction in your heart in the night. How do you get that? Well, be prayerful and expecting and asking the Lord to teach your spirit. And he will do it. These are ways that we can get instruction to help us. Now, understanding is also another key thing. Because, yeah, you know, people need to strive to receive understanding. In other words, the situation happening, you don't, can't figure it out. Understand it. You need understanding. You got to go to the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. Understanding is so key. And if we don't have it, well, we may be losing out in many areas. You know, even the you know, in the things that God wants to show us, if we do not have understanding, you miss many things. Jesus was talking in the sermon, I mean, the lesson of the parable of the sower. You know, he said when a person hears the word of the kingdom and has no understanding, then the devil comes and plucks it out of his heart. You know, so understanding is so key. But how do I get understanding? Where is the way of it? How can I learn it? You know, so those are some things that, you know, we need to exercise ourselves in. But if you do not value understanding, well, then you can't even get it. So you must value it. There is a scripture in Chronicles chapter 12. In verse 32, it talks about the children of the tribe of Issachar. He said they were men who had understanding of the times. They knew what people ought to do. You know, and they were heads of their family. This understanding gave them an advantage. That's, you know, they were, you know, they're, their brethren were at their commandment. That means they had an advantage because they had understanding. Even people today of the world, people in commerce and business and so forth, you know, investments and stock market and all that. People who have understanding of the times, they gain an advantage over others. You know, every day we need understanding. Understanding can actually give you an advantage, or lack of it will put you at a disadvantage. But when you put it all together, we say, well, I need understanding. I need, you know, guidance from the Holy Spirit. I need grace to overcome these little things. And let's talk about the big things as well. Well, same thing, but the little things give you practice. In other words, in fact, whether small or big, whatever we are facing, we got to win, because it will prepare you for the next thing. You may face some little things. You may face some big things. You got to win everything. You got to climb every battle. You got to win. I mean, climb every mountain, win every battle. You got to win. But the Lord is with you. Praise the Lord. Let's not go into these things with the mind of win some, lose some. Why must you lose any? But that is the life, actually. It turns out that way. I mean, some of these prize fighters, they may have a great record for many years. Say 33-0. And they've never lost something. Then all of a sudden, one day, your record is 33-1. Someday, somebody is going to knock them flat on their buttocks. You know, even though they won every fight up till that point. Stuff happens. But you got to pick up yourself and, you know, and fight the next battle and come back again. David was a man that, you know, learned from his experiences. There was a time he was keeping his father's sheep, he said, you know, out in the bush by himself. He shouldn't have been there by himself. Usually they are a flock of shepherds, but he was there by himself, you know, and, one day a lion came and attacked, you know, the sheep and took one. Well, David was not going to let that happen. Went after the lion. Got in the hand-to-hand combat with a lion. How do you do that? And he came out as a winner. Got back what was he said. Well, not on my watch. And then one day it was a bear that rose up against him like that, pounded his chest. It was huge. You know, those bear, you know, they can take, you know, something, bear hug, body slam or whatever, crush every bone in the body. He got a victory over that one as well. So when he was standing in front of Goliath, he was actually imagining that bear that rose up against him. Because, you know, when that bear rose up, he was as tall as Goliath, you know. And said, well, I've seen this before, you know. I've seen it before. I'm ready for this moment. I've seen that before. I've gone through these things. I've fought with lion. I've fought with a bear. This one will be nothing. I'm ready. Yeah, that was his mindset. Because he was going to win everything. He's going to run through troops, leap over walls. He said, look, I don't even care if nations are around about me like bees. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. In Psalm 27, he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's with me. I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I mean, he can go up against anything. He had confidence, and that confidence was building even greater confidence and getting him results. And so we've got to do the same thing. You know, there's always danger that is looming that we may not know about, but we trust the Lord that he's going to see us through. We pray to avert adversity. And when we are weak, what do? Well, let the weak say, I am strong. Praise the Lord. And wait on the Lord to renew your strength too. You know, Isaiah talked about it. He said, look, how do you renew your strength. Well, you said you have to wait on the Lord to renew your strength. What does waiting on the Lord mean then? That's something we got to figure out. What does it mean for you to wait on the Lord in order to renew your strength? Well, the Holy Spirit will show you. You know, but here's something he says. He said, they that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40 verse 31, shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So when we are weary, and it could be a lot of these challenges, or like, you know, I heard somebody one day said, I am tired. Just tired. I mean, so many things that they had to deal with. It just wearied them out, just fatigued, just wearied. Well, let me give you some encouragement from scriptures when we are weary. Weary of even footmen. Say you run against footmen, you are weary. These are the little things that we face every day. You are weary even from those. Well, here are some encouraging scriptures. In the book of Exodus 33 and 14, the Lord said, my spirit will be with you. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. That's right. You know, so when we are weary from, look, one day it's a pummeling from the devil. Another day it's on your job. Another day it's this and that. You know, all these things designed to bring fatigue and weariness. Well, we have to know that the Lord can be our strength. The Lord can be your strength indeed. You know, and he can give you encouragement. But we must trust in the Lord. That's the only way that we're going to do it. He said, the Lord will give strength unto his people, Psalm 29 and verse 11. And he will bless his people with peace. You know, when you are troubled with many things, trust in the Lord. Look unto the Lord to give you peace over that little situation. Even bigger situations are coming. You know, praise the Lord. You know, so we got to get strength from the Lord. Psalm 127 verse 2. The psalmist was always using different scenarios, you know, to gain strength. He said, look, I know that if I can try to do it by myself, I can't do it, you know, but I can do it by the grace of the Lord. He'll give me strength. He will give me sleep. It is vain for you, he said, to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. I mean, these are situations that we face in life. These are things that make people weary. You got to get up early. You know, you got to work many hours of the day. You got to work two jobs, three jobs, whatever. It just makes people weary. Say, I am tired. And Sammy said, well, you know, if we're doing all of that, what's a bread of sorrows? Well, that's when you can't even make ends meet. Even after doing all of that, you're still short. Can't make ends meet. Still can't even cover all your bills and everything. It's just like bread of sorrows. Some people say working from hand to mouth or whatever. You know, everything we have is going towards solving some problem. And as soon as you solve one, another one comes against you. Well, those may be the footmen. There's even bigger things coming. And some of those things you have to really examine too. Perhaps you can use some wisdom to avoid some of those things. You know, you got to try to decipher in each situation, what is it I'm trying, you know, Lord wants me to learn here. You know, perhaps I need to use greater wisdom and things like that. You know, to avoid situations like this. You know, nobody should ever be going through the same thing over and over again. You learn the lesson, you move on, you overcome it, you avoid it next time. Even if, I mean, especially if it was something that you could have done about it. You know, and The Lord also promises us, look, in our book of Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, you know, the Lord will keep in perfect peace, you know, when your mind is going here and there because of things that you're going through, trust the Lord. It will bring you into a situation of peace when you stay your mind on Him, because you trust in the Lord. And I said, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's right. He'll give you strength even when your strength is weak. He said, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, he told Paul that, you know, there are many things that he promises. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18, he promises us quietness, rest, and assurance forever. The effect of righteousness, the walk of righteousness, there shall be peace. My people shall dwell, quiet, resting places. You shall have assurance. You know, God wants us to have these things, peaceable habitation, sure dwelling places, quiet resting places, you know, and all that. When there's hail, when there's storm, when things are going on in the city, Lord will hide you. Say, will hide me in that pavilion until these things, the indignation be overpassed. The Lord wants us to, you know, have peace, but even in the midst of trouble sometimes. Peace is good if we can avoid the trouble altogether. Now, that's some kind of peace, a time of peace and tranquility when there is no war. That's good. But what about in the midst of the trouble? Can we still have peace? Well, yeah, too. So we must learn to have peace even in the midst of the trouble, especially the little troubles, to prepare ourselves for even the bigger troubles. And nobody is, we're not going through our lives trying to expect big troubles to come. No, but we must be prepared, because it can happen at any time, you know. So, but we got to be prepared. And God gives grace. He gives grace. Yeah, you know, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 19, this man, after he's gone through a lot of stuff, he finally said, well, you know, I know the Lord will make my feet like hinds' feet. You know, he's going to lift me up. And God gives that kind of encouragement to us. And the Lord will lift us up. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, if you're going through and you can't seem to handle, well, come to me, and I will give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, those of you who are running against footmen and you are weary, well, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You will find rest to your souls. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to also say that, look, don't let discouragement prevent you from finishing what you started. Be a finisher. Because you tried, it didn't work. Yeah, you got to try again. Excuse me. And situations in life, it take us a little longer than you thought. It took Noah 120 years to get that ark finally right. I don't know. We're not told why it took him so long, but I guarantee you it could have been because of retries, false starts, and different things. And, God was giving him instruction, and he was doing it. It wasn't coming out right. And I had to keep getting it done. And, keep working on it until he gets it done. It took a long time, but he eventually got it done. Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 9 gives you a promise if you are in that situation where the devil is trying to discourage you because of problems. Now you are in school, things are not going well with your studies, then you will try to quit. You are on your job, things are not going well, you try to quit. You are a business entrepreneur, you started something, things are not going well, you try to quit. No. It says here, your hands that started this thing will also finish it. Glory to God. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. I believe in being a finisher. Don't you? You know, tell young children, young people, and some of my kids also, you know, finish what you started. You know, you got to finish. And then little children also, when they start out, you know, those who don't know how to finish stuff, they're going to have challenges in life. The parent gives them some chore or housework. They do a little bit, they run off, and they can't finish it. They're going to have problems. Got to finish that thing. You know, stay with it and finish it before you move on to something else. A task that should take maybe 45 minutes. You know, if you're not a finisher, it might take you 3 hours. Because you, instead of just staying with the thing and finishing it, you 5 minutes, you take a 35-minute break. What's up with that? Stay with the thing and finish it. Glory to God. You know, so your hands have started. You also will finish. When you finish and you get that badge or you get that, you know, affirmation or confirmation, it strengthens you for the bigger things. Yeah. The Bible calls these bigger things the overswelling of Jordan. The greater things that can happen in life. Yeah. The little ones will prepare us for that. Many scriptures that will give us courage when we're going through. Paul himself one time, he said, look, I can do all things. Philippians 4 and 13. You know, through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's a good posture. He would not, you know, went through a lot of discouragement. He said, buffeted many times, you know, knocked down this and that. The devil come against him one way or another. But he was not going to give up. He said, look, I know I can do it. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, he tells us, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Be strong. That means don't, you know, this quit ye like men phrase actually means the opposite of quit. It's like, you know, don't act like men that are easily discouraged. Act like strong spiritual beings, you know. Encourage yourself in the Lord to get the victory. Praise the Lord. And that's what we must do. It's not, doesn't mean that we should actually give up. It means, you know, the, you know, exact opposite. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what the scripture is enjoining us to be. You know, the things of life that we face that would normally bring us discouragements, you know, the devil will use those things. The Lord is telling us, be strong and in the Lord. This phrase, in case you are wondering, why is it quit ye like men? You're saying it means that we should be strong. Well, yes. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9. You'll see the use of that same phrase there. It will help you to realize that that phrase doesn't mean you should give up. It actually means the exact opposite. You know, these Philistines, they never gave up on anything. You know, they were like this whack-a-mole thing they talk about in the U.S. You knock them down here, they jump up someplace else. You know, I mean, you whack them here, they jump up. You beat them up today, they go, they regroup, they come back. They never, you know, they just wouldn't do it. They plagued the children of Israel for years because they wouldn't give up. Here they're saying, you know they were defeated, but they said, be strong, you know, 1 Samuel 4 and 9. Quit yourselves like men. That's what he's saying. Look, don't, you know, be strong. Don't let, you know, discouragement come over you. O ye Philistines, be ye not the servants to these Hebrews. You know, I remember they were your servants at one time. And now quit yourselves like men and fight. So this quit ye like men doesn't mean give up at all. It's actually the opposite. It's a language they use in those days to look, you know, don't let the, you know, the fray, you know, the frailty of the heart, you know, keep you discouraged or defeated. Get up and strengthen yourself and fight and get back what is yours. Now, this even their enemies were telling themselves about that. Now, once again, you know, the things that we face in life, we got to win in order to prepare. Having said that, what are some of the bigger things then, you know, that may come? Well, there are a lot of adversities that people deal with from time to time. My prayer for you and for me and everybody else is that the Lord will keep us from these great adversities. Jesus said we should pray about that. When the disciples came to him and said, teach us how to pray. Well, one of the things was he said, what? Deliver us from evil. Keep us from these things. Even in the book of John 17, when he was praying for his disciples, Jesus is about to leave now. He has this remarkable prayer that he prayed for not only these disciples that he had at the time, but for all the others that will believe on him through those, you know, the words of those people down through the ages. He prayed this prayer. He said in John 17 and 15, I pray not, you know, that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. I mean, so prayer of being kept from evil is always a good thing that we must do. Let's keep praying that the Lord will keep us from the evil, keep us from the overswelling of Jordan. You know, because you know, I can't even begin to tell you if those things happen, I don't know how many people can handle. But let's pray that it does not happen. However, the scripture says, you know, prepare, you know, win the little battles so that when the bigger ones come, you may be able to go through. If we cannot handle simple things, you know, when you have a little hardship, you're a little short on cash, you can't trust the Lord. Well, you know, the reason lack of patience would drive many believers to go and be borrowing from unbelieving systems of the world. One day when you can't, what are you going to do when you can't pay your mortgage? You know, you got to learn to trust the Lord, you know, for everything, little or big. You know, some of us, you know, have read in the scriptures, many of us should have read in the scriptures, people who faced tremendous adversity in their lives. You know, ultimate tests at times. People had to face the penalty of death for their faith and be thrown into, you know, the fiery furnace or the den of lions or this or that. You know, those are tremendous adversity that people can face. Well, how do you handle situations like that? If when you have an opportunity to witness to your friend, your colleague, your neighbor, you can't even do it because you are concerned of what they might say or the rejection that you might face or whatever, how are you going to deal with even bigger things? So let's practice and get some grace and some strength and some victories under our belt for little things. So you should be able to say, look, I got victory over the lion. I got victory over the bear. I'm going to deal with this Goliath. You know, you should be able to look back and say, well, the Lord gave me victory over that. This is nothing, you know. And that's what this metaphor in Jeremiah 12:5 is all about. Make sure footmen don't outrun you. That will give you courage to go up against horses. If you, you know, footmen outrun you, you don't stand a chance against horses. But if you can hold your own against footmen, you might have a chance against horses, you know. So you must be able to hold your own, not by power or might alone, not your power or might, but by the Spirit of God. But you got to have that posture in your mind. I can handle. Praise God. Because the Lord already said, look, he will not allow anything to come to you that is greater than your strength. See, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There is no trial or temptation that you will face, but such as come unto man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above what you are able to handle. But with every situation, he will provide a way to escape. But you got to look for that way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. So there is already an assurance that, look, you can deal with it. And Paul had that confidence to say that I can do it. I can do all things. I've learned both how to be abased and how to abound. I've learned to be up. I've learned to be down. I've learned all these things. And in everything and in every which way, I'm instructed both how to be full and how to be empty. You know, whatever I'm going through, I can deal with it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that your testimony? Can you climb every mountain? Can you run and hold your own against footmen? Well, let's make sure that that's the case. You know, we'll let God handle the horses, you know, but we must be able to handle the footmen, you know. So hold your ground. Praise God. And a power of praise, powerful for many, you know, it's beautiful. Praise is beautiful for many situations. I tell you, you know, just, you know, can enter into the wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of praise. You know, sometimes it'll blow away so many things. Just like that. You know, when these things come flooding into your minds, different circumstances. Yesterday you were dealing with one thing. You haven't even finished dealing with that. There's yet another thing today. And so on and so forth. Those, you know, those situations try to take away your joy. You switch gears into praising the Lord and blow that thing back like that. You know, hallelujah. When you just switch to praising the Lord, you know, so you might even lose track or sight of those, you know, little things that are trying to drain your spiritual energy. You know, and I must say this before I close today. There are certain, and you got to pick your battles. It's not everything. It's not every footman that you must contend with. Even athletes, they don't, you know, contend in every track meet. They choose the ones they're going to go to. It's not every little one, everyone, everything. You know, choose your battles. You know, you cannot, you know, extend your spirit. There's some matters you don't even need to worry about. Just let it play itself out. It's not every storm that you have to pray against. Jesus taught us that example. One storm, he was just going to sleep through it. And when the disciples came and were panicking, he, you know, rebuked not only the wind, but rebuked the disciples as well for being fearful. You know, he wasn't going to rebuke the wind at all. He was just going to sleep through it. So it's not everything that we have to wage spiritual battle against. let some things, let it be. If the tree falls, so be it. Let it fall on the south, on the north, wherever it's falling. It's not going to fall on me, though. Can fall to the south, fall to the... If the bird's flying over my head, that's fine. I'm not going to worry about it, but it's not going to land on my head. So when the bird is flying, I'm not going to try to shoot it down. Let it fly. Now, if he wants to try to land on my head, well, that's a different story. You know, Abraham, when he was preparing sacrifices, the birds came down. He drove them away. Read that in Genesis 15. You know, but, you know, if the birds are not bothering you, then, you know, go on about your business. Not every storm should bother us. There's some things, you know, just handle that, move on. You spend spiritual energy on everything, then you have to, you know, you're drained, and then you have to constantly try to recharge. Some things are, you know, they will happen. The clouds, when they're full of rain, they will pour down the rain. That's it. You know, the tree falls, it will fall. That's it. You know, but it's not going to fall on me. I'm going to make sure it doesn't fall on me. So let's not waste our spiritual energy. Conserve the spiritual energy, you know, for great things, you know. And there's some things that are not even worth worrying about. You are in a relationship with your spouse, you're married, you cheat this and that. It's not every little thing that you have to fight over. You'll be drained if you do that, you know. There's some things that are not even worth fighting over. You got to move on. Praise the Lord. You know, so if we cannot deal with the little things, how are we going to deal with the big things? May the Lord give us the grace to prepare through the little things, some readiness for the bigger things in life. Life itself teaches us these things. You know, you don't start out, you know, in your education with college classes. Can't do it. You can't learn algebra when you haven't even learned ABC. Can't do that. You learn the ABCs first before you start learning all these complicated equations. And you can't be, you know, learning all these, you know, tough sciences first when you haven't even learned general sciences. I mean, this is the way education system is. You don't start at the top. You go through the little things, you know, the little child will learn the little things, and then they learn more, and then they learn more, and then they learn more. Before you know it, because they've learned all these other smaller things, now they are ready for bigger things. Jesus even said to Nicodemus one time, he said, look, if I have told you earthly things and you don't understand, how are you going to deal if I tell you heavenly things? And he said, well, okay, I'll tell you one heavenly thing now. Let me see if you can deal with it. He said, no one has come down from heaven at any time or ascended there. You know, the Son of Man standing with him, he said, which is in heaven right here. That's a spiritual thing. You deal with that. Of course, he couldn't deal with it. And what Jesus was trying to tell was that, look, if we cannot even handle simple things, well, are you going to handle deeper things? So Jesus always spoke in simple language. All his lessons were, he would just use simple words. Corn, say if a corn of wheat falls into the ground and died, abides alone. We talk about house, a house that's built on the sand, versus a house built on the rock. We talk about rain. We talk about a sower that's sowing seed. We talk about a man that's looking for, you know, pearls. I mean, he would just use things, you know, natural things. He would say, look, ask, bread, you know, talk about eggs, stones, you know, serpent and all these things. He just used natural words, but he was conveying deep spiritual lessons and truths. You know, so the same thing with us, you know. We got to use the smaller things to build. When you build a house, you use blocks. You know, you don't build a house with a house. You know, you build a house with small pieces of things. Yeah. So in the same way, our spiritual capacity is built up by having little victories over these smaller things. And then there's a house that you have built and it's called, you know, overcoming. So the overcomer's mansion, that's the house that you are building. But the gates, the windows, the doors, the rooms of that house, well, one time God called, he said, your gates will be praise, your walls will be salvation, your this and that. You know, well, your gates will be victories and successes and celebrations. Your walls will be praise and all these things, you know, the little things. The house that you're trying to build will be called the overcomer's house finally. But, you know, there's little things you got to overcome along the way. And finally, Jesus looks at that house and says, yeah, he that overcome it, just sit with me in my throne. And yeah, now you've built that house now. Well, how did you get there? Well, you got there by getting victory over these little things along the way. And finally, you got this house. You can name it Overcomer's Mansion. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's our lesson today. Some of it couched in metaphors and parables and stuff, but I pray the Lord give you understanding. Bottom line is, the things that we face from day to day, we've got to win. Don't let anything get the victory over you, because it will weaken you for even harder situations in the future. So win every battle. Climb every mountain. Win your race against footmen. That'll give you the confidence that you can go up against horses. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and I'll leave it there. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that is with us throughout our daily lives. Every day, the Lord is with us to give us grace through every situation. Look unto me and be ye saved, ye ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Our God will come and will save us in every situation. He'll give us strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, Lord, I pray for strength and grace to everyone that is weary. Isaiah said, Lord, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, that I may know how to speak a word to him that is weary, a word in season. I pray, Lord, that the word that we have spoken today will encourage people, you know, to get up, shake themselves from the dust, loose themselves from the bands around their neck, and get up and win. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We are winners. We will win every battle. We will climb every mountain. We will come out on top against the lion or the bear or Goliath or whatever. And we thank God who causes us always to triumph in all things. And at the end of it all, we have this house called the Overcomer's Mansion. So we have overcome all these things. He that overcometh, and we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We pray that everybody will be encouraged today to stand strong in the Lord and not to give an inch, you know, not to give up no matter what the situation is. Fight the good fight. Paul said, I fought that good fight. Fight that good fight. Come out as a winner. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your grace and the Lord is your strength. And it will cause you to triumph. He's the one that causes us always to triumph. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. I pray over the weary, you know, knees, the feeble knees, the hands that hang down, the weary heart, the troubled heart, the heart that says, I am tired. Well, don't be tired. The Lord is your strength. My strength, the Lord says, is made perfect even in weakness. You're tired because, you know, you've lost this, you've lost that, you lost one joy, picked up another, you lost that one. Something you thought was good turned out to be evil. You found water, but it was bitter. Whatever. The Lord says you keep on keeping on. Be many giants along the way, but you will get to that promised land. You got to win over the Hittites. You got to win over the Perizzites. You got to win over the Canaanites. You got to win over the Jebusites. You got to win over every one of them. Everyone. And then eventually you will get to that promised land. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.